This is a Virgin Radio Dubai podcast. You and I. Maz Hakim.
Maz.
Spilling the tea.
As long as I'm with you, it's where I belong.
Be kind to yourself, be kind to the people around you.
Look after each other.
Hey, I'm Maz.
Look after yourself special series.
Let's go!
So I am super excited to be joined today by the one, the only, Master Sri Akarshana. Yay!
Thank you. Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you so much. So Master, you are known as the monk millionaire or the yogi with a Lamborghini, which, by the way, is perfect for Dubai. You would fit right in. It's honestly such a fantastic concept. Tell us how this all started. So you made your first million at a very young age, and then you transitioned into being a bit of a monk sort of later on. How did that all come about?
I think because I grew up in entrepreneurship, my father was an entrepreneur, so I was a college dropout. I wanted to start my own business, so I did at 21. Then by 24, 25, 26, then I hit a very big deal in franchising and in steel and rubber recycling. So that's where my first $1 million deals came in. And from there, I guess I was like a lot of people, you know, I think everybody always questions, you know, what is our purpose in life? Well, you know, why do we do what we do? What are we all fighting for, striving for? And when we make the money, you know, what next? And yeah. So I think that because it happened at a young age, I kept asking the question. I was thinking, you know, is this it? And that's it. I should retire now, or I've got nothing else to do, you know? And so at first I did what, you know, I think any youngster would do and buy all the supercars and yachts and watches and all that type of stuff. And then very soon, you know, within just 6 months, a year, I was already very, you know, I was questioning, I was lost. I was trying to seek for more clarity on what our purpose is in life. And that's when I then stumbled across setting up the charity out in Kenya, then from there, meeting some spiritual guru out in Bali, then meeting some spiritual guru some monk out in China, and then speaking to them. The more I spoke to them, the more I started to realize, hey, wait there a second. I don't think it's just about money. You know, I think there's more to it. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is I went 180, and I think I actually see a lot of people do this 180. They go from material world to suddenly saying materials and money doesn't matter. And I went 180. And then I think somewhere down the line, you start to realize that actually we live in a material world, whether we like it or not. We live in a house, we need to drive a car. And why would we not want more comfort for not just ourselves, but for our family? And then I come to peace with being okay with money once again and materials once again, but not, I guess not the greed for it, not thinking that that is going to bring me the happiness, being fulfilled with whatever I have, but being open to receiving more. And I think that's where I see this big divide today, hence the message yogi with the Lamborghini, is because I see the big divide with a lot of people either chasing for money and success, or you get the other side where you get a lot of spiritual people who, whether they like to admit it or not, they're struggling financially, they're struggling on the material world. And so I like to help people bridge that gap to that understanding that it's okay to have materials, but don't let it become an addiction and think that happiness only is there, you know?
Is it possible to live a fulfilling life with just money, or do you need a sense of purpose?
Everybody will need a sense of purpose. And I think that question, I think people can answer themselves if I ask the question and I say, have you ever asked yourself before, why am I here? What am I doing? What is my purpose? And if you've ever asked that question before, then you know you need to know your purpose. And most of the time, the purpose, I mean, on a foundation level, the purpose is purely just to contribute beyond oneself. And that's why a lot of the time when we do give to others, or once we have enough for self, we always think, how can we help our families? How can we help our friends? How can we help beyond ourselves, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And has the way you do business changed now since you moved?
Extremely. Very, very much so. So there's a saying that says every master was once a disaster. And I think that when I look at, I think if I look at my early years of entrepreneurship, I would say that I was not a nice boss. I would say I would get angry, I would get frustrated, I'll get annoyed, I will, you know, shout at people if I don't get the right way and things like that. So, but I managed to, you know, so what I can say is I managed to succeed financially, but I wasn't happy, I wasn't satisfied. And I think it's because at the end of the day, our vibe attracts our tribe. So the people I was attracting were also angry and frustrated people. And while I fight them, they fight me. And every day was like that. So it wasn't happiness. Today, everything has changed. And I realized that the moment I started to find this balance between the two worlds is that it's beautiful. It's like every day is beautiful, every day is joyful, every day is happiness, and there's so much positivity around. There is no people like just chasing and greed for money. It's kind of like we are all in the same vibe of, we are very grateful right now. And with that vibe, obviously, because our message is a lot to do with law of attraction, we attract a lot of opportunities into our life. So I find that the way we are in flow, what we call in flow with the universe right now, I feel that with the same amount of work I used to put in, where I was fighting for dreams and goals, now the results will be, you know, 100 times faster, 1,000 times faster. So it seems effortless, you know?
I'm a huge believer in the law of attraction and manifestation. Your videos helped me a lot throughout 2020. And it just, I found myself sort of being grounded by that message of attracting abundance. How does one attract abundance? Somebody who, I guess, you know, not everybody, I guess, is in the flow or believes in being in the flow. How do you think you can attract abundance or channel into this law of attraction for people who don't really necessarily believe in it?
Okay. So I think asking that is going to be tough.
Yeah.
Because if people don't believe in it, then it's going to be tough because they're not trusting, their vibration is not there, they're not in abundance mindset. So it's going to be tough. Also, if they don't believe in something, then they probably won't see the opportunities and they won't step into the opportunities to take action also in the right way. So I think it must start from belief. And I think that, first of all, manifestation, I think how we can, first of all, iron out the non-believers is to first say that I am by no means saying that law of attraction is something where you kind of sit there, close your eyes, and then suddenly money ends up right in front of you, because I take a lot of action. I'm in the daily hustle. You know, we do a lot of work. We work extremely hard. My whole team does. So we put a lot of work out there, except the only difference is we, with our vibrational frequency, and this is purely just science, when our vibes are high and our vibes are positive, we attract more positivity and more opportunities our way. And an easy way to think about that is just to say, let's say, for example, if we all went to a networking event and there were some investors there and you were pitching for money, I was pitching for money, there's a group of us pitching for money, and some people are just very negative and they're complaining about things, very problem focused, and we are more solution focused, we have more of a positive outlook and we smile more, are we more likely to attract the investor? And the answer is yes. So I like to see it from a very physical level. I don't like to everyone to think of it as some pixie dust magic thing that we just kind of sprinkle some stuff and everybody becomes, you know, rich or something.
Yes.
So I think that's what we talk about when we talk about vibrational frequency. But then vibrational frequency will only bring the opportunity in front of you. For example, if you're standing on the street smiling, then somebody who's of a happy vibration might come up and say hi to you, you know? if you're frowning, probably nobody wants to go anywhere near you. So that's the attraction. Yeah. But the problem doesn't, that's not the biggest problem. I think a lot of people can somehow get themselves into some state of positivity. The problem happens in manifestation when the opportunity arises in front of them. And what I see is that a lot of people expect that somehow it's supposed to just, you know, be mine now. So I'm saying, oh yeah, I close my eyes. I'm like visualizing the love of my life. And suddenly I open my eyes and she's supposed to marry me straight away or something, you know, or I'm thinking of money and I open my eyes and money's supposed to just like, somebody's going to come over and say, here's the money, just take it. But that's not law of attraction is bringing the thing to you. After law of attraction, there's also law of action. So saying when the parcel is delivered in front of you, what are you going to do to take this opportunity? So that takes human skills. It's a physical skill. Like if you meet the love of your life, it takes a communication skill. You know, we need to have confidence. So this stuff can be learned, but the combination of the both the vibrational level and the physical level, I think these two is like, when you master these two areas, I think that's when you can attract abundance into your life.
So the one thing is law of attraction. And then with the law of action, what are some small skills or small habits that a person can do to, I guess, improve the law of action?
Okay. Look, I think a lot of it has to do with communication, because if we think about it, if a person wants to get what they want, whether that be a job interview or whether that be a pay rise or whether that be the love of their life, it's going to be communication. It's your ability. And I'll use business terms and entrepreneur terms for this, because it's your ability to close. I mean, even if you meet the love of your life, it's your ability to close the deal, you know, your ability to sell yourself well. If you can sell yourself well, they buy into it, then that's it. You know, you're together. So
yes,
I think the biggest human skill anybody can learn is the ability to communicate. And I really resonate with that is because I was the introvert. I was the shy kid. In fact, today I'm still the introvert. Like one-to-one conversations with people still freak me out. Except I pushed myself to learn this skill and to learn how to communicate with people, you know? So yeah. I think if I can learn it, then anybody can learn it. It's a learnable skill.
Interesting. Because I think for me personally, the law of attraction part is fine. And then, yeah, the closing the part is I'm not the best at that. So that's a skill that I'm still learning. But I mean, look, it's do you believe in destiny then? Or are you
destiny
not?
Destiny is there. Destiny is for sure there.
Yeah.
Destiny is there. Some people usually, they ask me, they say, if you're saying destiny is there, then what's the point in law of attraction? What's the point in manifestation? Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people, on a higher consciousness level, we start to understand that we are multidimensional beings, meaning that there are multiple outcomes, multiple destinies that is already written. And when we are saying we use law of attraction or we try to manifest something or we make a decision, we are still jumping, shifting lanes. So when we shift a lane or shift a parallel dimension, it means that we get another outcome. And so, yes, destiny, there are fixed destinies that are there and it is already written. It has to be already written. If you think of it like this, let's take a game. You ever play computer games or anything? You ever played a computer game?
I have a PlayStation. Right? Sometimes I
okay, can. Cool. Right. So you play a computer game. There will be a lot of different levels and a lot of different things that are already preset. Like, let's say, for example, a character. If you're supposed to go one way, you cannot just say, I see this butcher shop there. I'm going to go in and I'm going to use the restroom, because that wasn't programmed. Right. So it was never programmed. So you can't use that one. So there are certain things you cannot do, but you're saying, well, if everything's fixed and everything's already been written, the whole game's been written, then I might as well not do anything. No, because if you don't do anything, you stay in the same spot and you don't proceed to the next level. So can you still opt to say, I drive that car, drive that car? Yes, you can. Can I opt to say, I'm going to complete this level or not complete this level? Yes, you can. So you have your free will within whatever has been written in the universe. And so that's, I mean, it's like a 5-hour conversation in itself. Okay. So
I went to your workshop recently. It was wonderful. Very, very inspiring. What you mentioned in the workshop about signs from the universe, that the universe will give you signs, it'll give you taps. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
I think the easiest way, and I think I also shared this at the workshop as well, is that the best way to refer to it, I would say, is to look at the universe as not just a parent, but a loving parent. And it's interesting because some religions say like our father or, you know, mother creator or mother earth and this type of thing, because the signs are how can I say, it's like this. There is a saying that says every challenge is a blessing in disguise. Challenges is what guides us. Without challenge, I mean, because of certain challenges that also you've experienced in your life and I've experienced in my life, it squeezed us out one direction and put us into a different direction. We wouldn't be here even having this conversation. We wouldn't have our knowledge. We wouldn't have our wisdom of how much wisdom we have. We wouldn't have it if it wasn't for those challenges. So those challenges are already them guiding you. And so how I like to look at it is that the universe will give you small, small signals, which some people will look at synchronicities and numbers and the 111s and 222s and all this type of stuff. But I think it's important for people not to allow themselves to go crazy over the numbers, because some people, they like all they see is numbers, and then they're like, what does this mean? What does that mean? This is a sign. That's a sign. They go crazy, you know? So I think that, what to understand is universe will give you certain signs. And a lot of the time when you see synchronicity, repeated numbers or repeated signs that keep popping up in front of you, it's kind of a gentle way of the universe, our loving parents, saying something like, hey, giving you a little nudge, you're going the right way, like giving you a little sign. Or maybe warning, you're going the wrong way. And sometimes when we don't listen to those signs or we ignore those signs and we're too much in our mind, it will create the challenge in front of us to push us into a different direction. Just like any loving parent would. They give the soft management first, you know. And when the kid really doesn't listen, then they give a little bit of a smack, you know, and then guide you in the right direction. So, I think that is an easy way to understand how the universe communicates with us.
Yeah, it's quite beautiful and actually quite fascinating. I love the analogy of the fact that you said it's very similar to a parent. That was very easy to sort of digest and understand. So 2021, it's a new opportunity for everyone. It was a pretty tough year. Last year is an eye-opening year for a lot of people. You know, I guess in layman terms, how can people make the most of this year? I know that's a very broad question.
No, it's a very good question. 2020, if we look at even numerology and everything, is the reset year. So 2020, that's the alignment of the reset. 2021 is the new beginning. I think for people to think that 2020, it's over and everything's over, it's all great now, is not quite like that. Because after destruction, there will always be then creation. So we have to recreate ourselves and we have to pivot. We have to make commitments. We also have to let go of certain things that no longer serve us. So those type of commitments need to be made, and it's extremely important that they are made. And while we were speaking about, you know, universe signs, 2020 was a huge sign for from the universe, we call it, basically giving us two main warnings. One is health scare, and second thing is wealth scare. And we see it through the virus, and then we see it through the loss of jobs. So it's guiding us towards two things only, and it's trying to awaken people to understand, number one, your body is your vessel. You've been saying for so long to take care of your body, work out more, eat healthy. Now's the time, because those people who are not looking after their body, I mean, if we look at it on the chaos level, they have actually lost their lives during this pandemic, you know. And the second warning we've been seeing is wealth scare. It's kind of like a kick up the backside to everybody who's been thinking about leaving their job, been thinking about creating financial freedom and doing something for themselves. It's kind of saying, you know what, I'm going to take your job away from you right now. So it forces you, it pushes you towards a new direction to try and create financial freedom for yourself. And not only that, the universe is trying to get everything to evolve. So in other terms, if we look at what businesses even have been struggling, it would be the ones that are not online, the ones that are thriving online, that no online business technology, these businesses have been doing extremely well, including, I mean, Amazon is, I mean, they're so happy right now, you know, Jeff is so happy right now because it's gone crazy. So I think that it's a big sign from the universe. This year is a good year to drop all old things, detach. They say, if your cup is full, stop pouring. We need to clear that new space, clear that space for new things to enter into our life, new opportunities. And we need to make commitment to pivot. If it's talking about financially, then pivot and start learning that online space, whether it's social media, whether it's online business. Because at the end of the day, technology is only going to become more and more. It doesn't matter whether we say we like it, we don't like it, we want to be online, we don't want to be online. We ain't got a choice moving forward because everything is online, including this interview now, you know?
Yes.
Definitely.
It has opened our eyes up to a lot, I think. And working from home, I guess a lot of businesses didn't even have that option before. So it's a huge learning curve for everyone. And lastly, you said one of the greatest experiences in your life was meeting Sir Richard Branson. You literally manifested that. Tell us a little bit about meeting the boss of Virgin Radio, Sir Richard Branson.
it was beautiful. I started business looking at Richard Branson because he's like the PR king, and so I was inspired by Virgin Group, and that's why back then when I was setting up companies, it was we had Yo-Yo, so it was Yo-Yo Group, and we had Yo-Yo this and Yo-Yo that and all the rest of it. So I was really inspired by that. It got me started on the entrepreneurship game. And so for a long time, I wanted to meet him. And I even went to an event to try and see him. And I remember it was very interesting because I actually wrote a note to Richard Branson, and I gave it to my friend. I said, if I don't manage to run after him and give him the note, you do it for me. So we both had a note each. I wrote two notes, right? And it was really funny because even on my Facebook now, you can see that, I mean, this was about maybe seven years ago or something like that. On my Facebook, I actually, you talk about manifestation, I actually photoshopped me and Richard Branson shaking hands with a Virgin Atlantic plane behind. And I had that and I posted on my Facebook, you can still find it now. And this was maybe a few years before. And I didn't make much out of it. I guess it was like, I was chasing for it, just like we talk about law of attraction. I was like, I need to meet him. I need to speak to him. I went to this event. Imagine I never even got close to him, right? It was like, no way. There was too many security and everything. He went straight to the roof and flew off. So I was like, you know what? Never mind. It don't matter. And I let it go. And the interesting thing is I did exactly what we teach in law of attraction today. I said it. I even put it on my vision board. I created this visual, and then I totally forgot about it. And then out of the blue, around 3 years later, I get a call from the biggest promoter out in Vietnam, and they say, hey, we've seen some of your great work, and we've got a huge gig going on. It's going to be for around 6,000-7,000 people, and we would like you to host it with Sir Richard Branson. And I was like, host it? What do you mean? And they said, well, keynote. We want both of you to keynote, be the keynote speakers. I was like, me and Richard Branson? What does that mean? How does that even make sense? You know, and it was so bizarre. It was so weird. So being able to, you know, not just meet him, but share a stage with him in front of like 6,000-7,000 people, and then spend a lot of time backstage and stuff. So it was crazy. But I think, he was a nice guy and the humor and things like that, you know, British humor and stuff. So it was cool. And but I think I come to realize something, and And I think a lot of people realize these things when they meet celebrities or influencers and things, is that at the end of the day, it's another human being, you know? It's like they've done some spectacular things. They're an inspiration. And then you find that they are just human, just like anybody else, you know? And and it gives, I think it's a nice way to think about it, because to understand that we all start from somewhere. And that just because somebody has huge influence or a huge company or a billionaire or anything, we should be inspired by it, because we know that they are also normal. You know, they're human.
Absolutely. So beautiful. Thank you so much for your time. Where can people follow you and watch your videos?
They can find me on YouTube, Master Sri Akashana. They can find me on Instagram, TikTok, every platform. I'm on there, so they'll be able to find me there.
You've reached over 55 million people. Is that right? Or has that number gone up now?
it's changed now. I just seen the stat today. I think it's 97 million people. I think something like that. So it's a big number.
Oh my gosh. It's huge. Thank you so much, Master. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.